In an ongoing Northern Soundbite series about the metaphor of war against COVID-19, I turned to retired University of Alaska Fairbanks linguist and practicing Quaker, Charlie Basham. She says, as a professor, she used a book by George Lakoff and Mark Johnson called Metaphors We Live By.
All of our concepts are structured because we really can't talk about things directly. We have to talk about them indirectly. For example, one of the Lakoff and Johnson examples is time is money. We don't even think about it being a metaphor to say, I'm wasting time, I'm spending time. It's not the only way to think about time. Other cultures think about time in different ways. So metaphor is not just a literary device. It's a way of structuring our thinking, of languaging our reality.
Well, let's turn to this idea of war as metaphor. You've got a so-called enemy, but it doesn't even know we exist. It's been around before us in some form and will be around long after us, I suspect. So in what way can we war with a virus?
We can't. But we fight poverty, too. War on poverty, war on drugs. I think as a culture, that is a dominant metaphor, but I think it's the wrong way to think about an illness. There was a program on last night about germs. I think, wow, there's so much to learn. So we need to understand it. An image that a friend used the other day was thinking of a line of Buddhist monks walking along, and they're picking up each piece of the virus and prayerfully tossing it aside. Another example came to me from my Quaker background, and thinking about if something disruptive happens in a meeting for worship. I have seen this happen where somebody who is being disruptive, maybe two or three people will stand up and stand next to that person and just stand with them and then maybe gently usher them out. And I think about that in dealing with this virus, something that's disrupting things. Can we surround it? Can we overcome it in a more peaceful way?
It strikes me that our relationship with nature is terribly fraught, and this virus is a great example. There's something in our thinking that we think we're somehow outside of nature and not a part of nature, integral with it. From a Quaker point of view, what would you say to that point that somehow we think we're privileged from nature?
I've been reading Robin Wall Kimmerer's book, Braiding Sweetgrass, that really presents a very different, more of a Native American approach to our relationship with nature. It's one of understanding that we are part of the web of life, that we respect and work with other entities in this web of life, including the other people and animals and viruses. And it's a kind of humility to that. And I don't think Americans like the word humility very much. You know, it's not being a doormat, but it's understanding that we're not in charge. We're not really the boss of this world. We are a part of everything. And I think that is also a Quaker approach. We say there is that of God in everyone. And then we can also extend that to say there is that of God in everything. And so if we are to understand this virus as part of the web, how do we work with it? How do we understand it? It seems to me that the way that scientists have been working on this is to understand how this entity works, and then what can they do to take care of it?
Well, Charlie Basham, linguist and practicing Quaker, thank you so much for taking time and talking with me today.